6000, extension 314, to become a member today. You can even go online at kpft.org to make your pledge. Your pledge is essential to keep listener sponsorship viable for generations to come. So call 713-526-4000 to support KPFT. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
And welcome to this latest edition of Technology Bites, brought to you fresh off of the airwaves or podcast or any other means by which you may be listening, telepathic communications or black boxes or off-white boxes in Seattle perhaps, or any other way. Thank you.
How do you even follow them? I don't even know. All right, welcome to Technology Bites. We're glad you're. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House.
He can quit anytime.
All right, well, welcome to the show. We're glad you could tune in. Boy, it's nice and cool outside. It's a nice
brisk
change.
It's
nice, toasty in here.
It's nice. Oh, it's really warm.
Toasty.
It's like the set of a Steve Reeves movie in that studio.
Yeah, we're glad you could tune in and hope you're staying warm. It's a nice change of pace out there.
It is wonderful out there.
It feels like a server room.
It's crisp.
It feels like our data center. Kind of like the whole world is my data center now. There's a lot of data in it, too. All right. We're glad you could tune in. You can visit us online. Geekradio.com is the website for the radio show, geekradio.com. You can hang out on IRC, irc.kiku.com. The channel is Tech Bites, or you can go to geekradio.com and use our trusted and secure Java application to play IRC.
Did you say trusted and secure or trusted insecure?
We trust that it's not secure.
We have no intention of exploiting you with our Java. Whether or not, no, I don't think it's been compromised. It's probably okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Join the show within the show.
Yeah. So if you want to use your own IRC client to be doubly secure, you can go to irc.kuku.com and just join right up. right there. But if you're not that savvy with the Twitter from the 90s, then you can go to our website and do that. So that's how you do that. And the phone number, which you will need a little bit later on, is 713-526-5738. And I have interesting news. Let me pull this up. Oh, hello, dog. I have, for whatever reason, I do not... Oh, I did not want to do that. Undo. Somebody went online via kpft.org, and for reasons I'm not fully aware of, they made a pledge to our show. So that's kind of cool.
Maybe they got caught up in the moment during listening to a podcast.
Maybe they did. So, but anyway, we want to thank Ralph. Ralph made a pledge via. He actually, I think he just mailed it in. But anyway, he could use it on air. Thanks is what I've been told by the station management. So Ralph made a pledge. I don't know if that goes towards our last fundraiser or if we could.
Can we pay it forward? Can we post it?
I wish, but you know that's not the way they play around here.
So they put it back on the previous.
I'm sure.
It just went into the kitty.
I'm sure we will start the next fundraiser in a few months with no money in the till.
Oh, there's gonna be another fundraiser.
There's always another fundraiser, Dwight. Man. There's always another fundraiser.
It's a joy of public radio. It's a joy of public radio.
I was wondering, I wonder how much, if we took the amount of money that we raise, or we're required to raise, for the entire year, what that would break down to a week. And maybe we should just do a mini fundraiser. Like if it was $100 a show or $200 a show.
Yeah.
Or if we can get some really cool giveaways.
Technology Bites is looking for volunteers from 8 o'clock to 8:10 on every Wednesday night.
We just have to get three pledges, a show. Yeah. That would be something. All right, so just think it out loud, as I want to do. And, so Afflicted No Soccer, how are we doing? I need a soccer update. So it was 0-0. I tuned in. Somebody, the last one, right?
Sporting KC.
KFC, yeah. The Kentucky Football Club,
Kansas Fried Chicken,
yeah, Kansas. So anyway, I watched the game. I guess it was last Saturday.
Yeah,
and it was 0-0, right?
Yeah.
So
and in that case, they just shoot all the players at the end of the game instead of having overtime.
So now we're going to KC next week,
November 23rd.
That's a long time between games.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Wow. So if that can that possibly be 0-0?
It could. If it's 0-0, then they'll go into extra time, 2 15-minute halves, and then I think if it's still 0-0 after that, then they'll go to penalty shots.
Then they start shooting.
So they have to wrap it up.
Because it's 2-game aggregate. So at the end of that second game, if they're tied, somebody has to win it to see who plays for the cup.
Okay, so if they beat KC.
They will win the conference, and they will play in the MLS Cup on December the 7th, I think.
Okay. So is any of this potentially going to – do you need some time?
No, it's on Saturday.
It's on all on Saturdays? Okay.
Because next Wednesday we could let you have off.
Yeah.
That's very generous of you guys.
We could pull some strings. I'll
be greatly in debt.
Yeah. It'd be cool to have Flicked in debt to us, owing us something.
Next week we're not on, which brings up
a good point. We are not here next week.
Not today. Mexico, New Zealand played.
And I watched. Mexico, New Zealand.
That's got nothing to do with.
I watched Barcelona
though.
Versus Milan today.
How's that?
It was fun. I didn't watch it all the way to the end, so I don't know who won.
Oh, yeah, I just saw the ending.
Barcelona was up when I.
Mexico, kind of spanked New Zealand. I think it was 5-1. I think.
That is a spanking.
Yeah. And I thought it was a death, just single elimination, but I guess it's actually home-home two-game aggregate, so now they have to go play in New Zealand. I think this was in Mexico. But a 5-1 jump is going to be hard to overcome for New Zealand.
Well, there you have it. All right. I was driving through town. This is a great show on soccer.
Actually, was reading
I feel like
Reddit.
Brad Rich.
I was reading.
Yeah, he's waiting for him to walk through the door here any second.
Did somebody mention soccer?
You're a scooter. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually reading the Reddit the like MLS subreddit just to see anything new's going on. I was actually looking to see if Dynamo had ever said or it had been ever been leaked like who their sponsor, major sponsor was going to be for next year, but nobody knows.
Have you always been a soccer fan, please?
No. No. I grew up in a small town in Central Texas, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think what happened was I think I watched the movie Victory or whatever that Stallone was in and Pele was in, and Pele makes the bicycle kick to win to beat the German guards or whatever, and they break Stallone's arm, I think, so that...
And that right there made you...
Oh, he's the goalie.
He's the goalie, and they needed a different guy to play so that they could do their escape or something. I don't remember exactly how it worked out. It's been a long time. But I think that movie actually is what made me really like the idea of soccer when I was a kid growing up in Central Texas. And so my parents, I think for Christmas, maybe for my birthday, bought me like this like cheap soccer ball and net kit that came in a box from probably Sears or Montgomery Ward or something. And nobody else would ever play. So I didn't really learn the game. I didn't really understand the game. And yeah, I went to college and there's some people played, but I never really got into it. Then at work at NASA, like there was a guy who was totally into World Cup, like always had like the whole thing for all the people that were in the World Cup and kept up with the scores and who was playing and where it was going and the whole thing. But I never did. But then, yeah, like a couple of years ago, I started going, I went to two or three Dynamo games and I was like, well, this is pretty cool. And like the game does seem interesting. So yeah, I got into it. So this year to make up for my lost childhood, I bought season tickets to Dynamo.
Oh.
Although it also explains Dynamo. In advance if you miss the end of the Dynamo, if they lose their last game in the playoffs because you broke your arm. Oh, yeah, I was there till almost the end, and then, then I broke my arm and I had to leave.
I think the Dynamo has a new ad
and campaign. Escape. I mean leave.
I think the Dynamo has a new ad campaign. Lost childhood season tickets.
Reclaim yours now.
Yes.
As I was going to say, though, before we got off on this, double side tangent of soccer.
Double sided Scooby Snacks.
We are not going to be here next week because of the fundraiser for the Pacifica Archives. We don't have to beg for money, and they're not begging for money for Technology Bites, but the Pacifica Archives is having their own fundraiser, so we will be absent next week.
Are we in the Pacifica Archives?
I don't know. I probably not.
That's a shame.
We got to figure out a way to be in.
My interview with Douglas Adams, I think, is in the Pacifica Archives.
Every show should be.
Every show is on a hard drive at Pete's house.
That show where, we interviewed Edward Snowden before the big hubbub, that should be in there.
They deleted that from our servers. No one can find that episode.
Oh, I'm not supposed to mention that.
It's missing.
We don't know where it went.
Oh, we know where it is.
Wait a minute. All right. Well, let's do...
Oh, yeah, that's when you were in another country.
Yeah. Filling in for Jay Lee. We just call him ES because we're tight like that. All right. So we're going to do the Technology Bites Info Shot live from San Antonio. So take it away, Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, I'll give you some bad news first. And this one's kind of unfortunate. Best Buy and Google or and Amazon have pulled the HP Chromebook 11 device from their stores. When you look online, like at Google Play, it says it's out of inventory. This was very sudden. The Verge reported it first. Google issued a statement this afternoon to explain, saying the included charger with the Chromebook 11 has caused damage for a small number of users. Quote, we're working with the Consumer Product Safety Commission to identify the appropriate corrective action, and we'll provide information and instructions as soon as we can. In the meantime, customers who have purchased an HP Chromebook 11 should not use the original charger provided with the product. In the interim, they may continue to use their Chromebook 11 with any other Underwriter Laboratories listed micro USB charger, for example, one provided with a tablet or smartphone. Apparently, the deal was, you know, the HP Chromebook 11 had a charger that would charge it up a lot faster. And I guess there's something potentially wrong with it. So they had some issues, and so they've yanked them until they can fix that. So if you happen to have one, just use a different, you know, at least it's micro USB. So you probably have some of those laying around if you've had very many cell phones or anything else like that, or if you have a Nexus tablet or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's unfortunate. Apparently, you know, the stuff was just damaged. Nothing caught fire, so you don't get the big crazy stories. But if you got an HP Chromebook 11, at least pay attention to your charger. And here's an interesting question. Everybody, you know, thinks about it. It's come up on the show. The online backup provider Backblaze has begun to evaluate drive failure rates with commercial grade, you know, home hard drives. Basically, they have 25,000 drives spinning 24 hours a day. It's roughly one quarter of Facebook's capacity, and they've noted that 78% of the drives they've purchased have lasted longer than 4 years. So that's good to know. Let's see. Well, their blog post says, quote, Backblaze is standardized on consumer-grade hard drives. While hard drive companies say these drives are not designed to work in RAID arrays or the 24/7 workload of a data center environment, Backblaze uses software redundancy to protect data, unquote. So the interesting thing they said is that in the first 18 months of use, 1 in 20 drives fails every year. For a period thereafter, the rate falls some and then starts to rise again at the 3-year mark. They don't really say what the lifespan, I guess, of the average drive is, but it sounds like, the first 1.5 years of a drive's use, 5.1% of drives fail per year. For the next year and a half, they fail less often. So if you have a hard drive that's less than 3 years old, and it's more than a year and a half old, then you're in pretty good shape. After 3 years, it starts being 11.8%, so more than 10 out of 100 per year. Let's see, and 80% of the drives last 4 years, given proper thermal management and no other outside problems. Like, obviously, if it gets struck by lightning, that's going to affect the life of your drive, and it doesn't have anything to do with how long it lasts. The company has mathematically extrapolated its graph and believes that the median lifespan of a drive running 24 hours a day is 6 years. In other words, half of them would fail by the 6 years, and half would fail later than that. So may help you decide if you're thinking that maybe there's something wrong with your hard drive. The odds are a lot lower if it's under 3 years old and more than a year and a half old. Let's see. Oh, and here's a good Google. Now, here's some good Google news. I got a couple of those. The KitKat, the upgrade to Google's operating system for Android tablets, is coming to some existing devices. Like Google announced on Tuesday on Twitter that they're going to begin rolling out an over-the-air upgrade of Android 4.4 KitKat to Nexus 7s, both the 2012 and 2013 models, and Nexus 10 tablets immediately. Woohoo! Not all Nexus owners can expect the upgrade right away. Google said the current rollout is for Wi-Fi only tablets, meaning that Nexus slates with mobile data will have to wait, as will owners of the Nexus 4. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm certainly looking for it for my Nexus 7. This latest version of the mobile operating system, which Google rolled out last week with the debut of the Nexus 5 smartphone, doesn't have a ton of changes like Ice Cream Sandwich did. That was the previous operating system, not your dessert. Instead, KitKat's main purpose is to usher in a strategy towards minimizing fragmentation, a problem that's cropped up because of the wide variety of Android devices on the market running different versions of the operating system. And in other kind of Google news, in Motorola Google news, they announced a new phone called the Moto G, which is an Android phone styled after the Moto X and costing under $200 without a contract, as little as $179 without a contract. That's that should be pretty compelling. Google unveiled the handset, which is largely based on the Moto X design, on Wednesday at an event in Brazil. They're going to offer an 8-gig model of the Moto G for $179, while a 16-gig edition will cost only $20 more. Both are contract-free and SIM-unlocked. You know, at this price, it won't compete for dollars with higher-end smartphones that are 2 or 3 times more expensive, but it's not meant to. The idea behind this is to get it out to more of the world. Let's see. It's got an edge-to-edge display, curved back and Corning Gorilla Glass. A waterproof nano coating covers the device inside and out as well. It's got a 4.5-inch display with a 720p resolution screen, just like the Moto X. But it's since it's smaller than the Moto X, the pixel density is higher. It's 329 pixels per inch. It's got a 5-megapixel rear camera and a 1.3-megapixel front camera. And let's see. The other stuff is you can read up if you would like, but it's certainly they are – Google and Motorola are certainly stepping up on being competitive in the unlocked cell phone market as far as having low prices. The Nexus 5 is extremely competitive, like hundreds of dollars less unlocked if you buy it from Google. Than it is from than comparable smartphones. I mean, very equivalent smartphones like the iPhone 5S. The one thing to watch for is if you buy it from somebody other than Google, the price might be higher because I guess Google's subsidizing it when they sell it themselves. T-Mobile, for example, you pay about $100 more, and it's not because T-Mobile, if you did the math on it and thought, oh, T-Mobile's trying to squeeze an extra $100 out of you. That's not the case. That's basically what the phone is costing them from Google. So that, no explanation why, but that is what they're being charged. In other news, this one's an interesting one. Amazon Web Services has announced a new thing. You've got cloud where you take the server and you put it out. Your server's out in the cloud somewhere, and as opposed to a box maybe sitting, in your local data center. Now there is a new thing, hosted virtual desktop infrastructure called Workspaces. Basically, it's like putting the guts of your computer, your desktop computer with Windows 7 on it, in the cloud, and then you access it over a network. Now, the plus side of that is, of course, you can access it from you have the setup is all centralized. You can access it from from home, or in certain ways it resembles kind of the Citrix thing, except you do have kind of your own install. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is the virtual desktop environment can be accessed from multiple devices like Macs or iPads. This is your Windows 7 computers running Windows or Android tablets. So when you move to a different device, the desktop will be in the same state it was on the previous device. So it could be interesting to see where this goes, in the future, if this is successful. They're mostly aiming at businesses, at companies, and they're talking, I believe the charge is roughly $35 a month for a single virtual CPU and 50 gigs of storage space. The performance one is $60, and so it's a matter of if that saves you money or if it helps, having access from all those different places, if it's got value. But it's at least an interesting experiment. And if you don't want to have to do all the kind of general support and stuff, I guess this would allow you to deploy desktops for monthly fees. I wonder how much an individual, if depending on the size of your company, how much you spend a month really total, including your support people and all of that for your Windows 7 network. Probably once you're big enough, it's better to have people, but there's certainly a median size where this might make sense. In other in scarce news, the iPad mini, the Retina iPad mini, started getting sold yesterday. Oops. Well, there was no big – Apple did not make a big announcement and did not did not make a big deal out of it, because there's lots of people who want them and there aren't lots of them to be had. The cellular capable models of the device have begun trickling into Apple's U.S. retail stores. The company has been offering personal pickup of online orders since yesterday, but until now that was only the Wi-Fi model. So they started with the Retina display, Wi-Fi only, and now they've added the cellulars. Model selection is currently very limited, and many stores have yet to show any available cellular models, but availability should improve over time as Apple delivers more stock to its stores. Let's see, in the main thing is that if you're wanting a cellular Retina display iPad mini, be ready to wait, and you may want to try your various cellular stores and see if they have any. You're not going to walk into an Apple store and find one sitting on a shelf to get. You have to do a scheduled personal pickup thing to get a hold of one. So just know that I don't know that there's a lot of places where you can just walk in and grab one somewhere. So start planning. And of course, Apple sadly shut down the place that could tell you where you could find them, but you'll have to search for them on your own. And just to throw in a few, why not? There need to be some rumors because all the stuff is now shipping, I guess. The one that was big in the past week is that the next iPhone will be big and curved. They're thinking that the source close to Apple told Bloomberg, supposedly, that the next iPhone would be larger and have a curved screen. So it's going to be like a giant jelly bean with the screen across. No, it's going to be curved across the front and have a larger screen. I don't know. I guess does that – I'm trying to figure out what's so compelling that people write about it like it's a big – deal, but I mean, I kind of like my flat iPhone, you know. I don't know that curvy makes, I understand the volume. Maybe the idea is that they can put more volume in it and show more screen, but if it's curved, isn't that going to look weird? But the other thing, the other big rumory thing, is that there are rumors about the wearable stuff. And I guess a side rumor is that the TV, Apple TV thing is probably the likelihood of something like that coming out is pushed out to like 2015 because Apple's having trouble making deals with the content providers to put stuff on it. And so it sounds like they're kind of slowing that one down. But let's see. Based on sources in the company's supply chain, NPD display search analyst David Say, or H-S-I-E-H, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Among the products in his analysis was Apple's long-rumored iWatch smartwatch device, with Say only briefly noting that Apple appeared to be looking to source both a 1.3-inch and a 1.63-inch flexible AMOLED display with resolutions of 320 by 320 pixels. So the idea apparently is that the company will use two sizes to offer watches targeting men with a larger 1.7-inch display and women, and I guess men with little delicate tiny wrists with a smaller 1.3-inch option. It's yet to be confirmed whether the displays will be flexible, but sources said it was a possibility since Apple will want to upstage Samsung's Galaxy Gear. And that's the info shot. I'm Peter Hughes, and that's the news.
All right.
You like my fancier exit?
That was an interesting fancier exit. It sounded like you weren't like you thought you had one more story to go and realized you didn't.
Yeah, you didn't have your trademark. And finally,
yeah.
Yeah, well, let's I do didn't that have again. A new. There
All
wasn't
right, take
new.
Two. This one's going to be live. We're going to do this one on the air, so let's do the info shot again. No, just kidding.
Yeah, there wasn't new stuff. You know, I guess it's kind of not the season. Everybody's already announced what they're going to announce, and all we have is rumors and stuff catching on fire.
So I have a tech story about a thing that happened to me. My iPhone 5, the power button failed. You know, it's getting to the point where I had to press it really hard to get the phone to turn off or go into standby or whatever. Is yours doing it? Or are you showing how well yours works?
It works great.
Yeah. Mine, it didn't. And I was really mad about it because I went online and did some research, and apparently there was a failed class action lawsuit. I mean, there's enough people complaining about this problem that it seems to be a manufacturer design problem with the iPhone 5.
Actually,
and the 4, I think, presented as well.
I think Jessie, my daughter, may have mentioned that hers was active.
Well, it was getting to the point where it was really annoying because I ultimately want to hand this phone off to Cynthia when it comes time for me to get a new phone. But I knew that her struggling with that button would probably just make the experience less than pleasant. So I went online and looked for a place that fixes these things. I knew they existed. And I found this place called Houston iPhone Repair. It's over on I-10 and out by the Beltway, which is pretty convenient to me. And I read the reviews online, and they didn't seem like robo-reviews of people, you know, that they had hired people to go file good reviews on them. And I went in there, I drove over there, I called them and found out what their hours were, and I went over there, and I gave him the phone, I told him the problem, he took the phone, he went behind a bench, 30 minutes later he gives you the phone back, works great, price was great. And so if you need iPhone repair, I'm not getting paid to advertise this guy, but I know that like the idea of giving your phone to someone and having them open it up, because he had to open it up, I don't even know how you would open an iPhone. But it's all back and it works perfect. So, you know, there are some places in town apparently that can do that kind of work. And I know that
Apple now is doing more service on their phones at the actual Apple store. That was something that was announced a couple weeks ago. So there must be kind of better ways to service certain aspects of the phones.
Yeah. Well, this guy is it looks like a one man outfit, but, I don't know. They advertise that they use all Apple parts, approved parts, and so forth. But, I mean, I don't know. I could probably, if I was to open this thing up on my own, who knows what I'd find inside.
Parts from real apples.
I thought you were going to tell us that you said you couldn't fix your phone and he sold you an iPhone 6.
Yeah.
What was it you got repaired?
The power button. This button up here. And he had to take a soldering iron to it. I did see that. So there was soldering involved. So it wasn't a do-it-yourself kind of deal. But just so you know, I mean, apparently, you know, they replace screens and stuff like if you smash them, but they can be repaired. And I did not know that. I did not know that you could do it for a reasonable price either.
And what was the price again?
It was, we're not really supposed to talk about prices on the air, but it was very reasonable. It was very reasonable. Like less than 100. Huh. I mean, you know, it was probably a $5 part.
So there was a story on some of the tech blogs a week or so ago that Apple is ramping up to do more and more of that kind of low-cost repair in their stores.
Speak into your microphone.
There, Apple is.
Or pull the microphone closer to you. Apple. Somebody called and complained, yes. Specifically about you, Dwight.
Because you're like lounging like you're 4 feet from the mic when you talk.
I know, they can turn up the hearing aids. So look.
is Apple going to do more kinds of repairs?
More kinds of repairs like this and a better, and all kinds of things like screens and so that they don't have to constantly replace them. Which had become expensive, and they were like doing it with refurbished parts. So.
Apples aren't supposed to be upgradable, though. You're supposed to chunk it and buy a whole new Mac, according to Matthew Inman and everyone else. So
yeah,
they're breaking their business model.
Yeah.
Well, it occurred to me that you know there's a fairly good chunk of money involved in a phone like this, and it's not like you know I don't think of it as disposable. I mean, maybe my first couple of phones, which were subsidized for less than. I guess, you know, for less than $100 or something, but the idea of, I mean, an iPhone 5, I've seen iPhone 5 sell on eBay used for still around $500.
Right. Wow. Right. And are they unlocked or just?
They're unlocked, but all iPhone 5s, I believe, are unlocked.
No. Not from AT&T, the Verizon ones.
The Verizon, okay. Yeah, well, they're unlocked. Obviously, you're not going to sell it if it's for as much if it's locked to a carrier, right. But the unlocked ones sell for about $500 on eBay, and I mean, they actually sell. They're not just how much people are asking for them. And I did see one with a broken power button that was sold for about $325. So, like, that was significant. And I was like, you know, I want my phone to retain its value. So it's good to know that they are, even though they don't seem like they're that serviceable, if you can find some reputable people, but go online and do your research and read the reviews. But that's something else I've been learning about reading on review sites when you look on Yelp, or you go to places like that that are designed to allow customers to review businesses. Right. Some of them seem to have the reviews are not written by people that have actually done business with
them. No way.
I know. Surprising as that is, and there was actually a news story on that recently.
That's an ongoing problem with review sites.
So you
In fact, on Amazon, it's they have the opposite case where they have people who are given products who didn't originally have a plan to review it, but they've gotten this reputation of doing reviews that generate sales, and so these companies give these people the products and they get to keep them if they review them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they'll get a good review, but they review them. And they interviewed this one guy whose like wife was getting upset because their house was full of boxes of stuff that he was getting sent that they wanted him to review. So yeah, it can be a little bit of a racket.
Do they ask him before they send it? Or
I think they started it first, but you know, if company X gets a good review, hey, we'll just send you the next one. We'll send you the next one. You know, so. You gotta be careful when you read those.
He ended up reviewing some product from warehouse, and they own like 10,000 products, so they just started shipping them.
I've been taking these cars out and looking for places to go.
They don't give you the cars for the review.
No, they don't. So I've been taking these cars out, and I go to these little towns, and I'm looking for like a really good, inexpensive lunch type meal in these little towns, and. What's interesting is in Houston, you can see where a lot of people are like trying to game the restaurant. But in these little towns, that doesn't happen as much, and the reviews seem much more genuine and much more real. And so far, they've been dead on. You know, I've go to these little restaurants, and I've had pretty good meals. So
he said, "I hate that place. My cousin's ex girlfriend works there."
Yes, right.
Ah, 713-526-5738. He enunciated clearly into the microphone.
I hope I'm speaking loud enough now.
You were kind of getting your lounge on. You didn't even bother. You didn't even bother pulling them. You didn't. The mic wasn't even extended. The mics are on these bendable arms.
I got my lounge.
And he had like the mic was like retracted into its like resting position. Not even like the on the air position. But Dwight had leaned way back in his chair. It's like,
welcome to Technology Bites.
That's right. That's right. It's time for your tech nap.
I am tired tonight.
Are you? You look tired. Kind of got, your old man going.
Huh?
You got your old man on.
I got my old man on.
You've got your Spider-Man wrist thing.
Oh, yeah, Robo-Dwight.
My bionic arm. Robo-Dwight. I've got this very...
Wouldn't it be cool if that thing was motorized?
I really want like sound effects in it. I want to put... So I have this brace on...
You should download sound effects for your phone and just, play them.
You're like a really big J.J. Watt fan?
Yes.
All right, but for those at home that can't see, Dwight's arm is in a brace.
It looks like J.J. Watt, except not big and muscular.
The brace.
So what does it do? Is there like a knife that shoots out, or webs, or lasers, or
ow, that's super strength?
Besides injury, what does it do?
I tried to do the Spider-Man squirt.
It's apparently it's a pain amplifier. Yes.
Now I tore the tendon that connects my lower part of my bicep to my forearm. Partially tore it. And so I don't want to have surgery, and the doctor is having me wear this to prevent a full tear, and I'll have like.
Does it repair itself? It doesn't repair itself.
It will heal. And on Friday, I'm getting this injection. They take your blood, they extract the blood, and they extract the platelets and the plasma and the juice that heals things, and they concentrate it like
the juice that
the healing juices.
Yeah. Healing juice.
Healing juice.
That's in World of Warcraft too.
They make like a roux out of your blood, and then they inject it into the.
Oh, that's a fine gumbo!
Dwight's doping.
Comes in a little vial, and it's blue and glows.
Yes, exactly.
It's all riled up.
And after they put it in, do they sear your arm to seal in the juices?
That's right.
They should make it from the younger, more vibrant blood of your children.
That's actually a really good idea.
That would regenerate.
Except okay. they're not young and vibrant anymore. So
the young, this, more younger and more vibrant than you.
So this supposedly is done. The NFL does this with its players for to try to speed up injuries for them. So if it works for Arian Foster, maybe it'll work.
So what is it exactly holding in place?
It's holding in place. It's got it. It does two things. It gives support to the bicep.
The bicep muscle.
So that it's kind of like if you have a hernia, you wear one of those belts so that when you press, when your stomach muscles flex, they press against the belt instead of against your gut. And that's what this does. And then it also
makes people ask questions.
It also makes people ask questions. I can't, it doesn't allow me to extend my arm beyond a certain distance because I don't want to stretch the tendon, which could cause it to snap. When you fully tear this tendon, it's like letting go of a spring at one end.
All of your muscle ends up
way up here by your shoulder.
It looks pretty disturbing.
Really,
is that what happened to Stallone in the movie? Or no? I saw over the top. So
yeah,
they pulled up a mattress and they had the slats and laid his arm between two.
I got you. He broke it on purpose so he wouldn't play the game.
One guy stepped on his arm and broke it.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. He just could have said he did it on purpose, not in the game.
Then he screamed, "Adrian!"
Except it was Pele.
Oh.
Pele!
Bicycle kick. All right. So, phone lines are open. We are through talking about Dwight's physical ailments.
It's 3:26 again.
It is 3:43 before.
It's 3:26:48 now.
Yeah.
According to my computer clock, it's a quarter till.
At least our show wasn't on at, 11:12:13?
That would have been kind of cool.
It's 20:41 hours.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bytes. We're taking your calls. We'd love to hear from you and help you out with your computer issues or just discuss some technology with you. All the phone lines are currently open. We're not in fundraiser, so you can actually hang around.
We're ready to inject that healing juice into your computer devices.
Right. We got that computer healing juice.
The Dark Crystal, didn't they suck the essence out of the little Gelflings?
Wasn't that sad.
Always to a dark place, man.
That's a dark crystal.
Yeah.
That was like the darker side of Muppets.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just watched that again maybe a year ago. It's still pretty cool.
It was still pretty good. Yeah.
I've noticed, if you go back and watch any of the great classics, they're all Muppets. Star Wars.
Yoda.
Yeah, the third movie barely makes it into the Star Wars canon for me. Because I have always referred to that movie as the Muppets take Star Wars, because it just kind of got out of control.
Yeah, it was a little over the top, but I guess Jim Henson was just
in his prime.
He was the hot commodity.
He was the Pixar of the day.
Well, I guess he kind of was.
Yeah.
All right, phone lines are quiet.
Still doesn't explain the Ewoks. I think that was a George Lucas problem.
I think Lucas was a furry. Have you seen the ads for this this movie called Zero Charisma?
Mm-mm. I cast magic missile.
It's about the whole movie is centered around a D&D group, a group of nerds playing D&D.
Set in the 80s?
Oh, awesome.
Looks like it's kind of modern, one of the regular players of the D&D game leaves the group, so they have a space for a new player, and a hipster comes in.
Is this a video short or a real
movie?
It's
like they call it the taxi driver.
So he plays ironically.
It's very ironic.
It's a real movie.
No, it's a real movie. Yeah, wow. But it looks actually quite hilarious.
Taxi driver
of nerds is what they.
A few weeks ago, there was the nerd geek rap battle, which could get you ready for that movie if you were inclined that way.
Nerd,
I don't know if you guys saw it.
No, I didn't see it.
I guess I'll have to find it and tweet it so you guys can see it.
Or you could email it to us.
case, or just tweet it at us.
What email? Wow.
I know.
How old are you?
I'm watching this. Series of mysteries that was originally broadcast on British television. It was filmed in the mid 90s. And the cell phones are just giant, and the computers are all running Windows 3.1.1, and it's weird to watch. It's still a good show, but watching dated technology kind of hurts my feelings. 713-526-5738 is the number to call.
What do you got? I know what's going on. People read Matthew Inman's comic. They were the oatmeal today.
Oh, they read the oatmeal anymore. Today,
yeah,
and they
know how to fix
us?
Their computers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Windows, you reboot. If it fixes it, then you format the hard drive, reinstall Windows, and you lose all your files, and you quietly weep. Then Apple's finished the same thing. You take it to an Apple store. If they can't fix it, then you buy a new Mac, overdraw your account, quietly weep. I won't read the Linux one, but it's worth going out to check it out. Although we've got no one's calling
read,
in.
Read
no one's
Linux
calling in. This is actually true. This is what you've got to do to install Linux. You learn to code in C++. You recompile the kernel. Build your own microprocessor out of spare silicon you had lying around. Recompile the kernel again. Switch distros. Recompile the kernel again, but this time using a CPU powered by refracted light from Saturn. Grow a giant beard. Blame Sun Microsystems. Turn your bedroom into a server closet and spend 10 years falling asleep to the sound of whirring fans. Switch distros again. Abandon all hygiene. Write a regular expression that would make other programmers cry blood. Learn to code in Java. Recompile the kernel again, but this time while wearing your lucky socks. And if that didn't fix it, revert back to using a Windows or a Mac and quietly weep. They all end in crying here. It's just a trail of tears.
Well, that's the truth of computers.
Yeah, that's kind of IT.
All right. 713-526-5738. Someone is on the line right now talking to Groovehouse as they prepare to get on the air as we prepare to end the first hour of program. No, I got it. Right.
Everyone else is reinstalling Windows and growing beards.
And that takes a while.
That takes a while.
It's what is it, Movember?
It's Movember again.
So the temporary mustache that you grew last November has spanned a 12-month period, and now you're
it is still here.
That's all you got out of a year?
I know, and I don't, you know. Luckily, yeah, before we talk much more about my follicle.
Okay.
Inability to grow hair anywhere.
All right.
Let's talk to this guy.
Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who do we have on the air that wants to be on the air with us?
All right, up first on the show this week, we are going to speak with Brad.
Brad, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Oh, thanks, guys. Hey, I've got a USB stick that has a lot of important files on it, and it's unresponsive. And I think it's just due to poor connection on the those four little pads. But I'm trying to crack into it. And what's the best advice on that? Should I get out the soldering iron, or what should I do?
Well, I mean, if you're asking us if you should get out the soldering iron, when's the last time you soldered anything?
And what are you planning on doing? Just like reconnecting the pads, or what are you? What's the plan?
Well, what I was thinking to do is get a cable with a USB termination on it, and you know, bare those wires and actually solder on. You know, I've opened up the case, and I can get behind the connector, and I think I can get to good metal, but it is small. I mean,
I don't claim to know that how to like interface with an SSD drive on the circuit board level.
I've got a cheat.
A cheat.
Yeah, I mean, this is one cheat you can use. You can go and you can pick up before you possibly like melt components off your jump drive. Go and get one of the adapters that's just like a coupler for USB. You know, it's like the larger one that you would find that plugs into a computer, and then the other one is the smaller one that plugs into it. Get that, and then if you can find it, usually like at Micro Center or Fry's or someplace, go get some copper tape, okay, or something that conducts electricity. And then what you can do is you can fold those up into little bitty fingers that are a little bit smaller than those little you know, metal things that are on the USB. And carefully put those in there as shims, and that'll sometimes, like if it's a loose connection, something's not quite making connections, you can shove that in there, and you can sometimes get a connection out of a USB that's been, you know, like jammed when it was in a computer. We've had to repair them like that.
Really?
If the connections are just like funky and they won't touch, you can get them to
to touch that way.
So you're basically kind of forcing it.
You're bridging the gap. You're doing like a cold solder is what you're doing.
Ah,
so you don't have to solder anything. You have to melt anything. You can find out right away if that's the issue. Because the one thing you don't want to do is go through all that trouble and find out it was something else, like with the USB controller, with the memory itself, or something else is loose.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the connection. I went into denial and kept wiggling it and telling myself that before it got too bad, I'd download it all. But I didn't. One day, I just couldn't wiggle it enough, and here I am. So
give that a shot. You can also do it if you can't find a connector. You can do the copper tape trick right into your USB port, but sometimes you can get the copper tape will get stuck in there, and then you're kind of, you got other problems. So
yeah.
Get that $2 shim piece, then you're good to go.
So copper tape, eh? And I
that's
can get
the
it
easiest
in an
to find. I don't know. I don't think
or such.
I don't think aluminum foil will conduct electricity. I should know that. We use copper tape because it's around. It's like $3 or $4 for
It's also very thin,
and it's really thin too. So I don't know. I'm sure there's other stuff you could MacGyver
thin,
out, but copper tape's
right.
An easy one. That's the known.
Yeah, some ductile, malleable kind of material.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, the lesson learned is don't ever let a USB stick go bad on you.
Well, lesson learned is don't use a USB stick as your primary storage for anything.
For important data.
It's
yeah, really
transporting data only.
Actually, it wasn't. It was a backup, but then what happened was, okay, I decided to run I bought a cleanup routine for my computer. And it prompted me with this flag that says, do you want to delete junk files? Well, I don't know. I figured junk files were files that maybe hadn't been accessed in a few years. I didn't consider what the criterion would be for defining junk file, so I hit yes, and it pretty well blew away my entire hard drive.
Wow.
So it was more of an editorial comment on your data.
Mm. Yeah. I'm harboring junk. Well, to me it's not junk, but they may not agree, so...
Well, I'm wondering if it wrote to your drive, and I mean, you'd say it wiped out all of your data, like the operating system and everything.
Well, no. That was extreme.
That was hyperbole.
Statement. Yes. But it did delete all of my user files.
Huh.
Yeah. Not good. I wasn't happy, but it's one of these routines you download from these guys in Malta. So.
Well, sorry to hear that happened.
Yeah.
Good luck on getting the stuff off the USB.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah.
But thanks,
right.
Guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Depending on how much data it is, if you're still listening too, I mean, there are companies that could probably recover that data. If it's a defective piece of hardware like that, someplace like OnTrack.
I'm seeing a couple of companies that will actually like desolder the NAND chip, and then they've got readers. They can just plug the chip, the memory chip, into another device. It goes like between like, you know, two figures to three figures.
That's definitely what he should try, doing it himself.
Yeah, just, you know, go get a NAND reader.
Well, I mean, you've got basically a solid-state drive at the heart of this thing, right? So
hopefully all he did was he just kind of tweaked the connectors to where, you know, they're not all connecting at the same time. And the more you jiggle it, the worse you're going to make it.
Right.
You know, you're not going to make it expand back out by jiggling around.
It's like working with water.
I store all my files in water.
If you're, you know, plumbing has a little bit of a leak, like if you mess with it, you're just going to make the leak worse.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right, 713-526-5738. We are approaching the top of the hour, but we got time if another call is to come in, maybe to take that. I hate that the clock in here doesn't work right. I don't like that.
It's like going for, you know, like a clutch in a automatic rental car, you know. I keep looking at the clock expecting there's something to actually be there, and it's just not.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you drive? No, you drive a standard, or
I drive an automatic now. What I used to drive.
Okay.
Oh, look at that. That's very nice of you. That helps only a
little. Oh, that's cool.
That
all
doesn't
right.
help you. Does it? No. Share. I can see it.
But you know,
the
thing you have in front of you there on your the notebook computer.
I know it has a clock on it
too. Clock. It's up in the upper.
I know where the clock.
Not
is.
The same.
Corner.
Not the
and
same.
And if you just glance at that, you will know the time.
Well, I get it confused with my battery life remaining, which is now 10 hours and 55 minutes of battery life
change
left.
Change it to percent.
I don't... Get away from me with this old man logic.
go back. Assume the position.
Get your lounge back on.
I'm probably going to need to borrow somebody's power adapter at some point so Peter can stay on the show. I evidently left mine at home.
Mine I don't have with me because I don't need it, and it wouldn't work anymore.
Braggart.
Yeah, I normally wouldn't, except I didn't use it. I didn't have it plugged in the whole week.
Yeah. I've got 11 hours left right now, according to... And I've gotten way even better battery life after upgrading to Mavericks.
I have 88% here, so...
Well, I have 10 hours and 39 minutes, which is 73%.
You're using iStat menus, right, on mm-hmm. that? Yeah. Because I don't think actually in... On the raw Mac, you can switch it to time. I think that's an iStat menus thing.
I think that's still iStat. Yeah, that's iStat, definitely. All right, so you give him your power so he can keep... iStat menus quit unexpectedly. All right, so we got about 5 minutes till the top of the hour, so it looks like we're going to be winding things down here for the first hour of Technology Bites. But we have a whole other hour of Technology Bites coming up right after this first hour.
It didn't work.
Oh.
It doesn't light up or anything?
Does it even fit?
That's the wrong size.
The same? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the wrong size.
I don't suppose Dwight's would work either then. I bet it would.
Dwight's is this newer. Is the, yeah.
No, I've got this one with me. I don't have my other one.
You have an Air?
This is the one I'm using for the router reviews. This is not mine for
you don't have a power supply with you there?
I have a power supply for this.
That won't fit Flicted,
no,
I guess?
No, okay.
These are newer. They won't even. If yours won't fit, yours is closer to the
Oh, yours
age.
Older than mine? I
no,
thought yours
mine's
was newer.
Is newer than
yeah,
his
is newer than mine because he's got the backlit keyboard. That's something one of yours might work.
See if his might work.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're going to try to get some juice to Flicted.
He likes the juice.
So that we can keep Pete on the air. Or something.
Yeah, that looks a lot closer to what Flicted's got now. I bet that'll work.
713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. By the time we get you on the air, though, you'll be holding until the second part of the show. Is that all right, Groovehouse? You think that's okay?
Perfectly okay. Well,
you know, if you call in right now, Groovehouse will get you in the queue and get you all lined up to be on during the second half of Technology Bites. So 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air. I hear the gentle tones of Moog Cookbook in the background with, you know, the song that says it all about Technology Bites and KPFT, the Hotel of California.
Dwight, just
log off
me in.
Anytime you like, but you can never leave.
You can reboot me anytime. What? He just plugged you in?
Yeah, it's like total concierge service. I've never actually had anyone like come out. It's like, you know, like going to a nice restaurant only with your laptop.
You
where they come and they plug you into the wall and they come over and they plug in, you know, everything.
You never had someone plug your charge hole?
I don't think I should answer that question. No.
Are you saying you just had a happy ending there?
Flicked put a Twix in his once.
I do what I can. I should go resurrect some of those photos for the Facebook page.
All right, well... There's the music. We're gonna take a short break here and do some station business, but we'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around. You are listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Please join us for a fall music festival benefiting KPFT. The event happens Sunday, November 17th from 2 to 8 p.m. at Talento Bilingue de Houston, 333 South Jensen, featuring artists, food, and fun for the whole family. Scheduled performances by Guillermo Gutierrez, Alexa Oaks, and many more. This benefit happens Sunday, November 17th. For more information, you can visit kpft.org. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
In 2008, veterans and active duty service members joined together to form March Forward. March Forward's aim is to unite all those who have served and who currently serve in the U.S. military. March Forward organizes against war while fighting for social and economic justice at home, including the struggle against all forms of discrimination. March Forward operates based on the belief that real change comes through mass action. You can learn more about March Forward, its campaigns, conscientious objection, and much more at marchforward.org. You are listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1, kpft.org.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you...
Barrett time! Yeah. That means it's time for...
Barrett time!
Yeah. Anyway. Take it away, Barrett.
All right. Happy 11, 12, 13... And there's no real Barrett time tonight, but since we don't have a show next week, I did want to alert everyone to November 23rd. So does anyone know what day that is? Or rather, what that day is of? November 23rd?
November 23rd? Is that...
November 23rd this year? It's the Day of the Doctor.
Oh!
Or rather, the 50th anniversary special of the British science fiction television series Doctor Who. So simulcast that day in both 2D and 3D with follow-up screenings in over 70 other countries on Monday. The Doctor Who special is still mostly shrouded in mystery. We do know that both the 10th and the 11th Doctors make an appearance alongside the Daleks and the Zygons. So while you may be familiar with the Daleks from geek culture, you would have had to have watched the 1975 serial Care of the Zygons, starring the 4th Doctor, probably the one most associated with the early series, Tom Baker. So Zygons back from 1975. So that's a ways ago, 35 years. Anyway, Baker, who played the Doctor for 7 years, has recorded a bit of a message for the fans. It'll be played before the special episode. So just FYI, it's kind of sketchy. I found some tickets. I'm going to go check it out. So apologies for not having anything else for you. But that's it for your Day of the Doctor warning.
Tickets.
What's that? Oh, I mean, online. I didn't get them for that Sunday, but I got them for Monday. So it's doing on 2 days. It's the 23rd is the official one. Then it's in theaters. Yeah, it's actually playing in theaters. So you can go check it out in 2D or 3D. But I'm going out actually towards you. Your side of town is the theater I found tickets still. No, that would be really cool. I don't know why they're not doing it. Like the Dunvale Theater kind of out there, you know.
Yeah,
you can still go do it. So it's going to be kind of cool. And you can also stream it. If you Google Day of the Doctor, how do I watch? You've got a myriad options. So, again, that's it. I'll come back once I finish my TARDIS and totally redo this Barrett time. It'll be awesome.
But you'll be a different Barrett.
Yes, the second Barrett.
Well, that mustache, you should get the scarf, probably. All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. Really? Okay. I'm looking at the subject matter of this call that wants to be on the air with us. Groovehouse, do you want to preface this for us at all?
Not at all.
All right.
Yeah.
What?
You guys are on your own.
All right. Well, while we're going to be taking this call, but we have lots of open lines if you want to be on the air with us tonight, 713-526-5738. Who do we have up, Groovehouse?
All right. Up next on the second half of the show, we are going to speak with Whitney.
Whitney, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I am well. I'm friends with B Groovehouse, and I appreciate your time letting me on the air. I am the ignoramus of the group here. I'm a very right-brained, liberal arts major, journalist, high device, and so I appreciate all of the help that you guys provide me whenever I raise my hand in life and say my computer doesn't work. However, I'm very easy to take advantage of in that sense, and you could tell me anything and I would believe it. So, that being said, every single one of your answers sounds like a sexual joke. It makes no it's either some stick doesn't fit in that, it's unresponsive if I touch this here, or, you know, that's really what I hear. I don't hear solutions. I just hear special innuendos.
So we talk about a hard drive?
Exactly, yeah. I got a hard drive. Yeah.
What do you think of when Barrett says copper tape?
That sounds intriguing as well. Not sure.
Don't get me involved in this.
Copper tape and soldering—that's a different, whole different level.
Oh shit! Level up. Hey, I know that one. That's
so,
a
Whitney,
whole other flavor of beer.
Do you think that the left part of your brain trying to act out?
You know, I don't even know. I think the thing. To say you think it's anything is giving me a lot of credit.
You're self-deprecating.
It's just my knee-jerk reaction. Whenever I hear those you guys talk, I'm assuming a lot of things. Like you're all very intelligent and can help me with pretty much any.
Is it because you're attracted to us as a group?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, nice telling group house. Yeah.
You have geek issues, maybe? Like, I don't know.
She sounds like she should come to the geek gathering for sure.
Is it the technology that we're talking about, or is it that you have this idea that there's a room full of men with brains?
Do you want me to fantasize about a whole group of men with brains? Like, brains. It's whatever you know.
No, I'm just wondering is it the technology that's doing it, or is it the presentation that's doing it?
I think it's my unfamiliarity with the industry, I guess that's the word, with the field, rather. How about that? With the field, and it's the jargon.
Do you think it's do you tend to view tech guys as maybe, I mean, are you offended? Is it like, misogyny here?
I can't afford to be offended. I am very indebted, and I am very appreciative of your expertise, because I really, it's all magic to me. I mean, my computer stops working. I don't even know how to set up my internet. I mean, like, I've been using the hotspot on my phone. Like, that's how far removed I am from, you know, I can edit film. You know, I can do stuff online. I've seen far too much information that I cannot unsee on the interwebs. However, I have no idea how it works. And so I also feel a kinship with nerds. Because I'm an English nerd, I'm a grammarian, and you know, I appreciate intelligent forms of life and feel a camaraderie. However, that is kind of self-serving, in the sense that if I can make y'all feel cool, you can do some work for me for free.
it's kind of funny
in the meantime, I will amuse myself by making sexual jokes out of your
family. I was going to say, it's funny because, you know, I don't know a whole lot about literature, so whenever I hear anybody talk about books, I always think they're talking about sexual things.
Really, they
are. I know a lot about sexual things. I always think people are talking about computers.
Yeah, I read letters from Penthouse, and I think they're trying to tell me how to diagnose a technical problem.
That's
right?
Yeah, you just buy it for their articles. No, I mean, there's nothing unsexier than a newsroom. I'm sure Dwight can tell you that. I mean, editors and reporters were pretty hard-boiled bunch, but we certainly have a keen sense of humor that finds the most dastardly very, very hilarious. And so, and I know you guys are some puppies.
It's the smell of typewriters.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, that's it's the loss. It's the highest form of technology. Writing is, you know, and so I at least can say that much for myself. But I am totally at the mercy of you people. And I was curious. My question, I guess.
Well, this phone call is costing you 99 cents a minute.
Oh shit! Well, I'll bill you. occasionally,
all right,
do
you have a question for us? Is that what's about to happen?
Pardon? Yeah.
Okay.
You will occasionally acknowledge that you have just made a punny sexual reference in one of your answers, and I was just curious if you were aware of every single one of your answers being a punny sexual innuendo, or if it just kind of occurred to you because you're far too mature for that, occasionally that you made a sex joke.
I think statistically speaking, it's impossible that every single answer has contained something.
True.
And it's wasted.
I think you're projecting. I think that there's something that you've got going on there that you need to address. I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to necessarily come across as being.
I think we quit making sexual jokes, maybe about computer terms, maybe
20 minutes ago.
I'd say like in maybe like 2004. I mean, the last time I think we used the word RAM sexually was about 2004.
I think she's projecting some issues that she might have with hearing men on the air speaking confidently about subjects that she doesn't understand.
Our dialogue is so stilted that we sound like the beginning of all those bad porno movies.
Hey, I'm here to fix your computer. Bow wow. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we need some new bed music, so to speak. Flickton. You know, she should come to the Geek Gathering and we'll work out those issues.
We can cure her of her.
We'll cure her of her fantasies about us, that's for sure. all right, 713-526-5738, baby. I don't know what to make of that. So that's a friend of yours, is it, Greenhouse?
Was.
She said she's your friend.
And she apparently hangs out in newsrooms. That's got me.
She's a reporter.
She's a reporter.
Yeah.
For?
She works for a couple of papers in Galveston, I think. The paper in Galveston. Maybe some online stuff as well.
When you talk to her, can you see by her expression that she's coming up with a very different scenario than your conversation would lead one to have?
You know what he's going to talk to her about next time he sees her?
yeah. I'm just thinking if she doesn't know much about computers and so she interprets it to be like sexual innuendo, I'm just trying to think of like what other things she doesn't know about. So how often this is happening?
That's what I was wondering. I was just wondering if it wasn't necessarily because I don't think the computer references that we're using have those sexual overtones. I mean,
although definitely sometimes they do, and definitely sometimes we intentionally use them.
But the way that she was making it sound was as if the entire conversation. So I was wondering if it might be that you've got five guys in this one room and six guys total here talking confidently about subject matter she cannot comprehend. And so since she understands sex, maybe that's where that's her go-to, I don't know. Or is it stimulating to not
understand?
She also
understands literature, so she doesn't think we're being literate.
Or maybe
Maybe it was
the image she got at the beginning of the show when you talked about how it was cold outside, but that it's kind of sauna-like in the studio.
Bow, chicka, bow,
she has pictures of all you guys without shirts on, like oiled up, and like a bad Hercules movie.
I don't know. I mean, the best I can come up with is like hard drive, RAM memory. But, hard drives crashing, I don't know. It's not like I was going to think of that.
What copper tape? We're putting in an adapter, getting one of those adapters that's got USB on one end.
Squeezing your USB into maybe it was the charge hole. That was sexual.
That wasn't me. I felt a little uncomfortable in my workplace.
Okay.
Maybe when Jay said he could go 10 and a half hours without plugging in, that did something for her.
But the other thing is, though, English majors tend to be taught in modern English classes to do, like, interpretations.
Look for meaning. They've got to write papers where there's no...
And it really doesn't matter what the real meaning really was or what the artist, the author intended many times. It's just what you can interpret and if you can justify it. And then it's really not about the truth. It's about if you're... your person who's grading it likes what you say or thinks that you have a valid position or not.
And that
position.
Kind of innuendo.
Isn't that, that something that happens? Like
I was talking about English, not about computers.
Any group
See,
of
that's
pseudo,
what happens to me.
Any group of pseudo-intellectuals get together and kind of just reaffirm all of their own interpretations of something, and it doesn't actually exist, but they all kind of agree that it does, and they kind of validate themselves in that. Sounds like she had that might be going on just by herself with us. I'm not sure. But, you know, perhaps we should turn this into more of a discussion of Jane Austen. I don't know. Or 50 Shades of... VGA.
Grayscale.
Grayscale. 50 Shades of Grayscale or 50 Shades of VGA?
I've got Pete's Hercules graphics.
All right, 713-526-5738. That call derailed me. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
And I don't mean anything by that either. Derail is just derail. Sometimes a computer show is just a computer show. Who do we have up? It looks like we have a call in the queue.
Yes, we do. Up next, we are going to speak with George.
George, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi there. Hi. I have a question for Dwight.
Okay. Dwight, come here. All right.
To warm up the coffee and rouse him out there.
5 more minutes, I'm on.
Yeah. The question is, there was some discussion a while back that Dwight was going to be signing up for this Aereo service streaming local television stations. I may have missed it, but I was intrigued as to did he sign up and what does he think about it?
Yes. I was one of the beta testers for it before it went before it was launched publicly. I've been using it. I probably use it about 2 or 3 times a week, mostly to watch recorded shows off network. I seldom use it watching it live. I probably would give it at this point a grade of a B. It has we use it mostly to watch network television shows. My wife and I are fans of Grey's Anatomy, don't judge, and CSI. The Las Vegas one, and we watch them using this. What's interesting is the quality of the picture you get varies depending on the network. So, for example, when we watch Grey's Anatomy, it's usually pretty good. It's usually very close to full HD quality streaming to us. For CSI, and it could be because there's a lot of action. It's a faster image. The images happen faster on it. It's an action show. There's some pixelation. But it is very watchable. It has been pretty reliable so far. And the connection is quite good. You know, we don't get very often kind of a – you don't see it drop down to lower quality. That's happened maybe once or twice. But for $8 a month, we're very happy.
Okay, well, my follow-up question to that is, have you tried just using an antenna?
Yes, and of course, the thing with an antenna, what that means is that you watch it when it's on and you don't have a choice of when.
Yeah, the benefit of the Aero service is that you can record the broadcast and play it back at your leisure.
Right, it's a DVR. It's a DVR in the cloud, basically. And
right,
so,
well, here's what I was why I was inquiring about that is... you know, if you get a simple, you know, a card with a couple of tuners on it, which is about $130, stick it in your PC. If you've got Windows 7, you have a programming guide. You've got all the digital subchannels on there. All the stuff that's on broadcast. And it's like having a TiVo. You just record the stuff that you want.
Right, but then you have to record two
things at the same time.
You have to spend $130. You have to get a television set. I mean, a PC that's connected close to your, close to your TV. There's a lot of ifs there and ands, and we wanted something that was just simple. And relatively low cost, and where we kind of just don't have to worry about it, where it just happens. And so far, Aereo has filled that bill.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. I have a Roku that I use for a lot of streaming stuff, and I really like the results of using that with things like Netflix or
there's a 30 day there's a 30-day free trial, so it doesn't cost you anything to try it. And if you don't like it, just discontinue.
Since you directed
it.
The question to Dwight, I presume that you've been following along his cord-cutting adventure.
And somewhat, yeah.
So the whole idea behind Arrow, and I mean the things that you mentioned in terms of available streaming content and other ways to record or capture broadcast television are valid, and that's correct. But the idea behind a service like Arrow was, you know, more of a, you know, trying to find something to fit to the mobile lifestyle. I know Dwight tends to like to watch some of his programs while he's working out at the gym or while he's, you know, driving down the freeway, that kind of thing. So Arrow provides that. driving down the freeway. I'm glad you woke up and caught that. But, you know, I mean, certainly the idea of setting up a computer and using that to capture, that's an option as well. But it is a little bit more pricey, a little bit more involved in terms
It's a one-time cost on some, what he's talking about, but it requires a setup and changing kind of the physical layout of my living room, which I'm not willing to do.
Right. I mean, I thought about putting a computer next to my TV or, you know, a computer that I watch. But I was just noticing, too, that Real Media now offers the ability. You can have your videos stored in the cloud and watch Real Media. So if you have stuff recorded, they give you upload space to upload those videos, and you can watch them using a dedicated app on different devices. Very interesting.
Well, there you are. So, you know, the only thing that that I see as sort of the really good point about having a computer that you're using to record stuff is that you can recycle an old PC because the ATSC television system, you're not using any CPU cycles to encode the picture. In the old analog days, you had to grab each frame of video and digitize it and encode it, and it ate up a ton of CPU cycles. But now all you have to do is just essentially divert the data stream from your TV antenna onto the hard drive, and then it just plays back through your system to your TV set, which does the ATSC decoding, and so it doesn't. You can have a pretty lame, a kind of a you know, a Salvation Army computer, and just
which looks great in your living room.
My goal was to have at the moment I've got two streaming boxes, an Apple TV and a Roku, and I mostly use the Apple TV and use the Roku for Amazon when I want to look something on Amazon Prime or use the Aereo. But I would love to, like, go down to just one box, and I'm trying to keep things as simple, as small, and rely as much on the Internet as opposed to my own hardware as I can.
I think it comes back to, with any of the streaming services, like whether it's Netflix or Hulu or Arrow or something like that, the idea is that that's all in the cloud, it's all in the Internet, so you can view that from any device that's connected to the Internet instead of having like this, you know. I think it's a kind of a bit of an outdated concept to have this media center that you have in your living room where everything's tied to one television and one audio system, and that's where you go to view your media.
One of the other issues with using Windows Media Player is that if a broadcaster has set a do not record flag on it, it will not record it. Microsoft honors those, and so.
Well, there are other programs that would allow you to kind of turn your computer into a DVR.
Yeah, he was speaking specifically about Windows Media Center.
And there's also other ways to take that media and make it available over your network to other devices via your Wi-Fi. But it gets really involved really fast. Well, hope that
if you want it, if you want access to that media in multiple places, say away from home, then you run into the issue that the outbound bandwidth at your house on the internet is not the same as inbound. So when you're getting it from somebody like Aereo, you can get that in. You know, that can come downstream very quickly, and you get a good signal. Where if you're pushing it the other way, you get a tenth or less of the bandwidth available to send that same signal to someplace else.
One downside to Aereo that that a lot of people don't know until they've signed up for it is that you cannot view on mobile devices outside of your Wi-Fi? Market area.
Oh, market area. Okay.
So, and it knows where you are. And so if you are, you know, out from Houston and say you're in Chicago in a hotel room and you'd like to watch something that you have stored on Aereo's cloud, they don't yet let you do it. Apparently they will. They're going to. But at the moment they do not. And that is that's something of an issue if you're planning, if you're thinking you can use it while you travel.
Well, so that would distinguish it then from the Slingbox, where you can just send the stream from your home to basically anywhere.
Yes, yeah, the Slingbox is a better solution if you want to use it for travel.
All right, well, listen, okay. I appreciate your call, and I hope you got what you were looking for, and we got to move on. Oh, wow, I thought we had a couple of calls to the queue, but we got one more at least. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse, who do we have up?
Up next, we are going to speak with Tim.
Tim, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys. I am so glad I had a buffer between me and the racy stuff. I have a mundane question.
Okay.
I've been using the MacBook Pro for 5 years now. And my
that's not innuendo right there.
MacBook Pros are pretty racy.
Oh, yeah. I've been using it for 5 years, and my backup has been non-traditional. I had to always boot from a thumb drive and then do a disk image over to an external drive. And I just upgraded to the newer MacBook Pro, and it won't boot from anything external. I don't know if it's me or what's going on.
So you're trying to boot one of the newer MacBook Pros from an operating system on a thumb drive?
Mm-hmm. It worked for 5 years on the old one.
She's ruined it for me. Now all I get out of that is sexual innuendo.
That's don't odd. You, I know
you, that isn't there a keystroke that'll let you do that? Don't you have to like hold down a certain key to boot?
Oh, yeah. I hold down the Alt key, and I can see the places that it could boot. It'll say, here's the option for the hard drive in the laptop. Here's the option for the external thumb drive. I arrow over to it, hit enter, and I get a circle with a line through it.
What operating system is on the boot drive?
I've tried both. I've tried Mavericks and the one of the Mountain Lion ones that worked on the other Mac.
What process did you use to create the bootable thumb drive?
I went through all the gyrations that the various online sites try to do, where you have to like unpack you download the software without installing it, and then you have to unpack it. I don't think it's an Apple-approved solution.
Huh, I haven't tried to boot my new MacBook Pro from a USB, but I know it works on my previous MacBook.
Yeah, if you're wanting to make an image of the drive, why not just use something like Carbon Copy Cloner, and then I don't think you have to boot from some external device to make that work, do you?
I thought you did. Do you think it can do it from the drive it's running on?
Why do you use the method that you're discussing instead of, say, using like a Time Machine?
I don't like incremental. I want an entire complete backup that's the entire disk image, so I can throw a new hard drive in there and completely restore. And I just don't trust disk image or Time Machine.
I was gonna say I've used Time Machine several times to move computers and also to reinstall the OS from scratch and pull everything off Time Machine. So. I had
no problems with it. When I got my new MacBook Air, I had a Time Machine backup of my MacBook Pro, and I booted right up and pulled that over, and it was like I was right back up and running.
Yeah, I mean Time Machine doesn't do a full backup every time, but it's doing an incremental every hour, and it keeps hourlies, dailies, weeklies, and so it's like most enterprise backup systems where you only do full backups every so often, and then in between you do one or two levels of incrementals. So when you go to do a restore, you go back to the last full, and then you add the incremental on the, and then if you have progressives, you add progressives or whatever.
It's all there, and you don't really have to interface with it. I mean, I hear that there's a problem that hasn't been solved, which is if you prefer to do it the way that you're doing it, I respect that, and yeah. I can't tell you why that's not working, and you've tried creating new boot disks, and you're still not having any luck getting it to boot. Have you tried the different? I mean, how many USB ports are on the MacBook Pro these days? Just one or two?
Two.
Two. Have you tried? Now, I have noticed. Here's what I've noticed with my MacBook Air. I've noticed that my left USB port is not as reliable as my right USB port. Have you tried different USB ports to see if you could boot? Or are you favoring
I think so, because okay. I think I moved things around once just to try exactly that, but I'll have to try it again just in case.
Just worth a shot, but and you've tried different media, too. You've not a chance that maybe you've got a bad thumb drive or whatever it is that you're using.
Oh, yeah. I tried a different thumb drive, and I tried a different thumb drive that had the older OS on it. I don't know. Will the older OS boot on the new MacBook Pro? Should, but I don't know. The Mountain Lion should,
yeah.
That one didn't work either, and I have that's worked on another MacBook Pro.
And the USB port, as far as you can tell, works fine in every other regard, right?
Yes.
Hmm.
They don't do Time Machine if that's the only way, but I was just hoping to have this as my standard go-to for the last 5 years. I want to keep, you know, having that available.
Well, no, and it seems to me that there would be a benefit to you to have the ability to boot from a thumb drive, even if it was for the purposes of, you know, doing a clean install, because that's how I would do a clean install of my operating system. Say I didn't want to use the backup, I would get that. I would do exactly what you're talking about, get the copy of the operating system I want, go through that life hack where they take out the file you need.
You pull out the disk image out of the, pull the disk image installer. Out.
And so you could just do a clean install.
So what were y'all saying how to get it to boot from USB? Because KD5's saying, you know, if you hold down the option key, it should give you every device that's available to be.
That's what he said he was doing. He holds the option key, and he sees the list of things, but the USB drive is not displayed. Right? Is that correct?
It's displayed. On an arrow over, it says you can boot this. I think it shows up in orange, and then it shows the laptop's hard drive. I think is silver. So you know the difference is what's your external, what's your internal. And right. I'll arrow over to it just like I've done for the last 5 years and hit enter, and it won't boot.
What happens when you hit enter? What does it?
It gives me a kind of a gray screen, and there's a blackish circle with a line through it.
Have you tried it lately on a different, on an older MacBook to see if it'll work? If it's something wrong with it?
I'll have to put the older MacBook back together. So I have not.
Yeah, or just find one and see if it'll boot from it. It could be that something has happened to that drive.
He said he's tried different drives.
KD5 also mentioned that, I don't know, I didn't go look at it, but there's something on SourceForge called Refit, R-E-F-I-T, that you might look at.
Refit, okay.
What's it supposed to do?
It's a boot menu and maintenance toolkit.
Oh, cool.
So you can boot up into different OSs. I think it's like Grub or Lilo, but a little bit nicer, some more options.
What's it called again already, Dan?
Refit. R-E-F-I-T.
It's refit.sourceforge.net to get you to the link. But, yeah, I mean, you say this is brand new?
Right.
You know, I'm just wondering if you might have, if there might be some issue with your USB port that it's not manifesting when you're using it for doing, like, file transfers, but that it's erroring out in some way when it's trying to read that drive and interface with it as a boot drive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might actually have a defective
USB. I haven't tried to boot off mine, but I know I booted off USB on my previous MacBook Air, which was first generation. And I know I was able to boot off USB because that's how I reinstalled the OS from a thumb drive on it.
Yeah, I'm sure it has the ability to do it. I haven't tried to do it on my new computer yet, but it's a functionality of the operating system or of the Apple hardware and operating system. So you should be able to do it. I don't know that it doesn't strike me as anything that would have been taken away on the new ones. So I'd be more worried that either you're missing something, not doing something correctly or the way that it's expected to happen, or you've got a problem with your system.
It's possible that it sees a USB, so it lists it as an option to boot from, but then when it actually tries to go to it, it doesn't see it as bootable, or it's not the right type of bootable partition or something like that.
I mean, you've gone so far as to, like, just find the instructions for making the boot disk and go through them step by step and set it up just clean and from scratch.
Right. I've done that. Yeah, I just had a second time just to make sure.
You might, are you getting this off the, like, the life hack site? Because you might do that and, like,
that. Life Hacker and where else did I look?
Because you might try that and just to get the, to basically build a bootable thumb drive with the image installer on it. And just see if you can boot off of that, like with a thumb
drive. And there's also on Macworld how to make a bootable Mavericks install drive.
I looked at that. Follow those directions. Or there's something called Unibootin, like Unibootin, that actually will make bootable drives for you. That could be the other thing, is it's just not showing up as bootable. Did you try booting or rebooting your Mac with the USB drive in there and holding down the option button when it comes back up?
When it comes back up, no.
Do that. When you do that, that's supposed to show a list of, like, all the bootable devices you have on there. So that could also give you a little bit of information.
That's what
not
he has
it.
Done,
though. I thought you said you did. He didn't do it.
Well, no, he said he did do it.
Oh, he did. Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I missed that part.
I mean, you put, okay, let's be clear. So now that Flicted and Barrett are both paying attention to the conversation, you put the thumb drive in when the computer's turned off. You turned it on. You hold the option key. He sees the USB drive. He clicks it. And then it comes with
a circle and a slash.
Yeah, I'm with Flicked. I think you just messed something up with the USB stick, possibly.
Yeah. Well, what's weird is I tried my older Mountain Lion stick that I know works, and it wouldn't boot from that either. Hmm. I thought maybe the new hardware rejected the older
OS. Was your old stick, were you on an Intel Mac with the Mountain Lion stick that worked?
Yes.
Okay. Because the new EFI stuff, that's why Flicked was saying refit. Refit is just to play on the EFI. So if you've got an EFI system, that's what you need to do. So they boot a little bit differently. You've got to get to the EFI menu, the boot menu, and hook the operating system there to boot into your OS. So it's a little bit different than, like, the early ones, the
Mac Pros. Like Jay said, you also might try flipping USB, like try both USB ports, just in case one of them. I know at one point, I think... Well, I said I know. I think at some point Apple was doing it where one USB port had more power to it.
I think they're doing that now. I think that the right USB port on my MacBook Air has more power than the left.
One's a half amp and one's like almost a full amp or something along those lines. They're both 5 volts, but yeah, one has will give you more power.
I wouldn't think that would affect a thumb drive because they should be able to work on both, but you might try that just to see.
Okay, I'll give that a shot. I hadn't thought about the EFI being different. That might be the path I need to also
make sure.
Go
yeah,
with.
Just make sure that the image you're getting, you know, just make sure everything lines up to where it's going to boot that system. So you maybe even just go Google EFI, you know, Mavericks boot USB drive, or you know, give it a couple different tries. But just make sure you're following some solid directions, and you know, you can find another similar hardware. Go see if it'll boot on that hardware. If it definitely will on that hardware, you bring it back to yours, and it won't, then you know that you know, you've got a hardware issue.
I haven't tried it with Mavericks yet. I made a 10.7 bootable thumb and a 10.8 bootable thumb, and I used both of those, but I haven't done 10.9 yet, so I don't have any personal experience to compare that to.
All right.
Well, let us know how it goes.
I will, and that's given me a lot to think about and tinker with. I appreciate it.
All right, well, good luck. Thanks for your call tonight.
Thanks much. Bye-bye.
Have you messed with Unibootin at all? Mm-hmm. Or is anyone else?
Nope.
Yeah, it's like UNEBOOTN or something like that. It's actually kind of cool. So the deal is you go, it's like it comes for Windows and for Linux, and maybe even like OS X. It's got like a drop-down thing of all these distros, like everything from like the Nopix to, you know, whatever thing, any kind of operating system you want to boot into. You select it for your architecture, and then it more or less it builds you a bootable jump drive.
How long does it take?
Mainly the downloads take the longest because it comes, you know, so if you're pulling down a 2-gig Fedora install, it's going to take however long it takes you to download 2 gigs.
Is it a piece of software?
It's a piece of software, yeah.
And then they have servers on the back end?
Yes, well, no, it ties into, so it's got kind of like a repository list, and it goes and it knows where to go get, for instance, Ubuntu. It knows where to go get Debian. It knows where to go get Nopix. Okay. And someone maintains that list. So when you say, hey, I want to make a USB drive and I want to be able to boot this OS for, you know, this architecture. It just doesn't.
Oh, that's nice.
And it'll either go get it, or it'll, you know, it'll give you the options for, like, some instances, like some things you can net install and boot really lightly, and then it'll go and get the rest of it from the servers. Or you can say, hey, I want a full install. But it's really nice. So if you're not familiar with going in and, like, you know, going in and saying, like, hey, fdisk and make this partition bootable, and don't have any extended or logical partitions, it's got to be on the first one. If you're not familiar with that, this will get it for you.
That's cool.
So that could be what I'm thinking is happening with him. There's some link where it hands off to the boot sector on the USB, and it just doesn't have anywhere to go. So
there's more and more of those things that make what used to be really complicated technical adventures much easier. There's a CyanogenMod just came out with a installer that you download an app to the phone, you download an app to the PC, you connect it, you say, I want to put, you know, this mod on this phone, you click once, and it moves it over, and it's done.
Yeah, that's a lot better than, you know, no one's going to brick their devices anymore, hopefully, no more.
They could still,
you can always go wrong.
I mean, that was actually, we were starting to see that really coming about when I had my,
Samsung Galaxy 2.
Samsung Galaxy phone. Thank you, Flicker, for keeping track of my phone. But you got to be really careful that you get the right model because, like, for example, the Galaxy had the version that was released in the UK versus the version that was, there's like T939 versus whatever, you know, there are two different versions of that phone, and you got the wrong mod and you push it on the phone, you would still brick. I mean, everything was easy if you had the right, as long as you knew it was the right one and you were doing it right.
Well, because you got the app on the phone, you got the app on the PC, it can check to see what's there, and it won't let you put anything back.
Will it? Does it actually say this is the wrong phone? It tells it?
It gives you a list of, it gives you a list of things it will accept. There's a link to it in my link post today. I thought, I was like, okay, can I, like, find a thing I can put something on?
Like that. I'm still waiting, and I've heard of some out there. I haven't actually tried any where you can actually, you know, like, for instance, when you boot up your phone, you can hold down your volume button and then choose which ROM to boot up into. So you can have multiple ROMs on a single phone.
That'd be good.
I haven't seen any, like, really good example where everyone's saying, like, yeah, this works. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. I see, like, it works on this model under these conditions only. You know, it's someday, though. Maybe someday sooner than later.
Essentially, it'd be like a dual booting on a PC. Yeah. That's what you'd want. So you'd be able to boot, like, you know, your iPhone into...
Then we're going to go virtual, you know, on this. Right. Like, hey, I'm running a Palm 351. What are you running?
That guy will call in with his Palm, so...
That's what a... it's a dual boot. It's not virtuals. But that's what Ubuntu's making. Because they're making two things. They're making one that's a dual boot, so it's actually loads the Ubuntu mobile OS next to Android, so it's actually running Android and the Ubuntu mobile in core processors that Android's not using, but they're also making the Ubuntu Touch or One Touch or whatever it got now. It's called Touch, I think, which is a replacement OS, so it's completely just Ubuntu on the phone without Android on it at all.
Very interesting stuff happening with phones. Eventually you'll have a phone and you can have, there'll be parallels for the phone, so you can run the Apple OS, you can run Android, you can run Palm.
Well, the Snapdragon 800 processor is pretty nice, and a lot of the phones that are using them are quad core. I mean, they're pretty good systems. I mean, they can do some nice stuff. So I wanted to get a Firefox phone, but the only ones they've come out with so far are kind of low-end, like, cheap smartphones. And so I didn't really want to go with that, and I was hoping it would be more powerful.
All right. 713-526-5738. We've got... We got about half an hour. Is that right?
We had 15 minutes.
It's right here.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. 15 minutes. Display is really messed up.
I'm gonna take my clock back if you're not gonna use it.
Well, that'll show. All right, so we got about 10 minutes left and we can take a call or two in. So if you wanted to be on the air with us, Groove House has got nothing better to do than to take your phone call at 713-526-5738. You know, he needs to be, you know, pulled out of his reverie and self-indulgence and forced to... You know, every time you call in and Groove House has to take you through the process of getting ready to be on the air, You're doing Groovehouse a great favor. You're protecting, you're saving him from himself. Otherwise, he's just wallowing in God knows what with his laptop over there.
Wallowing in innuendo.
Oh, yeah. I guess God knows what is kind of innuendo. All right. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT is the number to call if you want to be on the air. 713-526-KPFT.
But I can shoulder surf him, and it's not all that exciting. But y'all feel free to, like, you know, imagine whatever you want to that he's looking at. Is that
what?
Is that what? Copper tape and a USB port
and a Twix?
It's looking at the Tech Bytes gallery.
Yeah, you remember that?
Oh, yeah, when you plugged the...
The iTwix?
The USB port was not prepared for that.
That was...
All right, well, the phone is ringing. Are you listening? Groovehouse, he is glistening. That's innuendo. All right, I'm going to just be policing myself for the rest of the show.
In case we need to turn that prior call about, you know, dual booting phones, if that didn't have any, that didn't really have any innuendo, so we'll translate it for Groovehouse's friend and say, it lets your phone swing both ways and gives you hot Ubuntu on Android action.
We will not mention pen testing.
You know, we should mention, and this is not a euphemism, that we won't be on the air next week.
We're going to be, we will not be here next week. They'll be doing a fundraiser for the archives. And we will also not be here Christmas Day, night, because we're going to, Ray Hill is going to be doing a special Prism program episode on Christmas night. So we won't be here Christmas
Maybe night. We can get him to play the song on Christmas Eve. You think he'd do that for us? In memory of us?
We'll do it the week before Christmas.
Yes. I
just not tell him it was a bad song. Just say, hey, this is our tradition. It's a great song. Put it on for three minutes. Well, sure, listeners will love it.
Groovehouse.
The mnemonic for Ray Hill's show is remember to do 8 to 10 with Ray Hill on Christmas.
Oh.
All right, Groovehouse. Yes. I see you have a call for us. And the phones are lighting up.
They are lighting up. So let's get to this call.
All right.
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Matt.
Matt, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. All right, I have two PCs, and I have UVerse coming into the house on the jack, and it goes to a box. I guess you call it a splitter. Anyway, so that I can use both PCs at the same time or whenever. But anyway, one of them I can't hook, and what I used to do when they wouldn't start up is I'd switch the cables around, and it would work. Now, only one of the computers works, no matter how many times I switch the cables. And
when you say work, do you mean get on the internet?
Yes, get on the internet.
And when you say a splitter, are you talking about a router or a splitter? They're two different things.
Talking about a hub, because I bet he's just pulling that single.
Okay, let me ask you this: so you've got cable for your internet, right?
Yeah, UVerse.
Comcast.
Yeah.
Oh, you have UVerse.
Yes.
All right, so UVerse
You can connect UVerse to your cable system in your house.
Okay, so how are you connected to the UVerse? Do you have a router?
Yes, it. I guess it's a router because I have two.
Most routers will come with four Ethernet jacks in the back, so you can hook up four.
Okay. Yeah, this one has about eight.
Okay, so you can hook up eight computers to it.
Right.
So you are saying you're plugging two computers into that right now?
Yes.
And one of them, no matter which port you put it in or which cable you use, will connect to the internet.
Right. It won't work. They used to not do the. One time it stopped, and so the guy told me, say, just switch the cables around, and I did, and it worked. But for the last week or so, I can't get this one.
And you've rebooted the computer, right?
Oh, yeah, several times. I ran Spybot Search and Destroy and the whole kit and caboodle.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, when you plug the Ethernet cable in, do you see the light come on? Are you getting, is it showing that you're getting a link?
Yes. Well, it shows a light on the cable in the back of the computer. Now, on the actual router, it'll display a number. Like right now, since two of them are plugged in, one of them is lit green, and the one that doesn't turn on, I guess, is lit yellow. So,
have you rebooted the router?
What do you mean by that? Do I unplug it?
Turn it off and turn it on. Yeah, you probably have to unplug it to do that. So have you rebooted that?
Several times, yeah.
And they're both desktop computers, right? So they're not. So they don't have like wireless capabilities on either one of them.
Well, they used to. I mean, I just pull out the wireless. What do you call it? The device from behind them. When I got.
Can you get on wireless with it?
Can I get on wireless with? I don't have any. I removed a hotspot on my cell phone in order to be able to hook up.
All right, you're all over the place. I was wondering if your home network router had wireless capabilities.
No.
No, okay. No. So you don't have it. Like when I said you don't have the ability to get on wireless with this, and you told me that you did, that's not actually correct.
Is this the the router that UVerse, that AT&T gave you?
Yes.
Have you called them and talked to them about this?
No.
You might want to do that. It's possible that there's something wrong with that router, and they'll switch you out a new one very easily.
Well, my question is, if that's the case, why wouldn't when I switch the cables or?
No, he's got a point. If he takes the computer that's working and moves it around, why does it keep working?
Yeah, and not the other one.
I think the problem is almost definitely with the computer itself
or the cables,
right?
If it takes a cable from the working computer and plugs it in here, it still doesn't work. I'm assuming you've done that.
Yeah, several times,
What it's acting like is that the computer itself is not getting a routable IP address it's almost certainly the computer, based on what he's talking about, what he's described to us.
Okay. Could it be the little jack inside the computer?
It certainly could be that you have a bad Ethernet card. I don't know why switching it to another port was allowing it to work for a while, but it could be a sign
just jiggling it.
It may have been that you were jiggling it, or it may have been that you removed any juice that was coming over the Ethernet to that port, and it kind of reset it. So it's possible that the Ethernet card itself is bad. It's hard to tell. There's not like a quick or easy diagnostic that will tell us, but what you could...
Because I even tried running it direct, remove the router, because I mean, if I could just run one, then I would be okay, but I would run it direct, and that computer doesn't work.
On the back of the... When you connect the computer to it, on some computers and some Ethernet connections, there's a little light next to the plug flashes. Does it flash when you do that?
At times it would, and like, for example, right now, it's not.
And it's not working now?
No. I mean, the light doesn't work on it, you know.
Oh, the light doesn't work on it?
Not on the back of the computer.
Yeah. So you're saying the light on the back of the computer is not coming on?
No, it's not.
So when I asked you earlier if it was, and you told me yes, that was incorrect.
It was. Yeah.
So basically what I'm struggling with here is that, when I ask you a question, you're not answering it correctly. We spend a few minutes and then we get to the real answer. If the light on the back of the computer where the Ethernet plugs in is not coming on, that tells me you've got a bad Ethernet card.
Okay. So it's not necessarily the actual plug in the back of the computer.
What do you mean by the actual plug?
That actual plug in the back of the computer is connected physically to the network card. Those are kind of the same thing. Like that. Okay. He's talking about the RJ45 jack.
The thing that looks like a big phone jack, yeah. Right?
Right, yes.
That is an Ethernet, that where the Ethernet cable plugs in, you should see a tiny green or yellow light that tells you you've made a link.
Right. No,
and if that is not coming on, then chances are that card is bad, and that could have been caught, and that may have been going bad all along. How old is the computer? Approximately.
It's old, 8-9 years old.
Okay, fine. I think maybe, you could go out and buy an Ethernet card for this thing for probably less than $20 and try swapping it out. If that doesn't do it, you might want to consider getting a new PC. But anyway, I wish you a lot of luck. We are running out of time. We have to get ready to get out of here. But, okay, yeah, that was a little frustrating. But
I'm not frustrated. I'm kind
of that's because
chill.
You kind of tuned in late and asked questions that are fortunately, you did because you asked questions that have already been asked.
Right,
so we got
question.
Different. No, you asked the question a second time.
I asked the question a second time the right way.
You tell yourself that.
Dang.
That's what? I know.
Just go back to your bottle. Dwight's getting feisty. He's every now and then he wakes up from one of his naps and he wants to participate in the call.
It's getting late. He's going to request we switch the show from 7 to 9 probably.
I would. Man, I wish we'd just do the show in the morning.
No. Do it about 8? Wouldn't that be good? About 8 o'clock in the morning?
About 8 o'clock in the morning. And then, do the show for a couple hours and go into work.
Yeah.
And then come home and have a nice dinner and go to bed. Yeah, that'd be awesome. As it is now.
I'm sure we'd get a ton of calls doing the show in the morning while people are at work.
I don't even care. I just get a good night's sleep, man. Wednesdays are tough. I have to go. Fortunately, I knocked out Sons of Anarchy, which was an hour and a half this most recent episode.
Haven't they all been an hour and a half?
They've been an hour and 15, some of them. But this was an hour and a half. I mean, less
than
commercial.
They have no respect for time.
I just started watching the fifth season, and I'm about 5 or 6 episodes in.
What season
are we in? I'm suddenly losing interest.
We're in six.
Six.
Okay.
I'm suddenly losing interest because I feel like all the characters had any kind of moral standards, like that I felt like had any kind of stabilizing effect, are gone.
Just wait.
And so everybody who's left is people that I don't have much respect for.
It will be that kind of writes itself later on.
Oh, okay.
Does it?
Yeah. But six is real anarchy.
I mean, it's like every time you think that the ship is going to get righted, it just flips on the other side.
Of course.
And it's sailing upside down
it's
right
TV,
now.
Y'all.
It's are you up to date?
Yeah.
Are you completely caught up?
Not y'all the one that just aired.
Okay.
See, I like the fact that there were people who were just really lawless, and there were people who were on the fence, and there were people that were, I mean, it's a outlaw biker gang, right? But there were people that were kind of leaning towards maybe having some kind of stabilization, and all those people who kind of were the moral questioning for the group and kind of provided that stability have kind of gone or changed.
Oh,
so I don't like it as much.
Upset you? Oh, watch next season. Stay tuned for next episode.
Stick with
careful
it.
Groove
stick
House because the Afflicted's moral center.
No,
let me just
put it to you this way: season 6. It's like you're hoping they all die and go to jail.
That's real anarchy.
It's like, oh my God, I'm no longer sympathetic to any of you. I hope that something horrible
happens. I'm already kind of there.
I keep thinking somehow or another it's going to wrap up. Somehow they're going to tie all these loose ends together.
They're going to turn over a new leaf.
No, not even that. It's just, it's my stories.
Or the zombies
will show up. You guys are worse than a bunch of old ladies.
Particularly, this show is like General Hospital with bikers.
Yeah.
It really is.
If it was on in the afternoon, it would be.
They
didn't put it on in the during the day for those old timers.
You guys don't watch it live anyway, so it's on anytime you want to watch it.
Jay sounds like he's about 15 minutes from needing to go to the 5 o'clock senior special for dinner at Denny's.
Yummy.
Lubies.
If you could put that on earlier for me, it'd be better.
I like the Salisbury steak.
Is that a double entendre?
It's free food.
Fried fish.
I've heard that about you.
Fortunately, my senility will erase the memory of this whole show, and I'll come back Wednesday thinking it's just a great idea to do Technology Bites with these guys.
Time's all right. Up. No show next week.
No show next week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House.
It's the season for the annual Pacifica Radio Archives National Broadcast and Fund Drive to preserve Pacifica's tape collection Tuesday and Wednesday, November 19th and 20th. You will hear excerpts of the archive series From the Vault, featuring newly restored recordings such as Adrian Rich, Che Guevara, Seamus Haney, Marianne McPartland, James Baldwin, and many more.
Try to dwell on the past. Think of all the mistakes you've made and how much better it would be if you hadn't made them. Think of what you should have done and blame yourself for not doing so. And don't go easy. Be really hard on yourself.
There isn't anything quite like this anyplace.
This is a two-for-one drive where donors get double the gifts delivered by Christmas Eve. So mark your calendars for Tuesday, November 19th and Wednesday the 20th for the Pacifica Radio Archives National Broadcast and Fundraiser heard on all five Pacifica radio stations.
This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
When you listen to KPFT, you hear things that you would expect to hear on a community radio station. Relevant news, the arts, great music.
But when you tune into KPFT, you also hear things you wouldn't expect. You hear different perspectives that make you think about our world in a new way.
Pacifica's mission statement is about building understanding between nations and people. What you hear on KPFT can have a profound effect on how you live.
You listen to KPFT because it expands your understanding of yourself and of the world. And we can continue to bring you great ideas and culture because listeners like you contribute.
So why wait for a pledge drive to support KPFT? Give a call to our membership department at 713-526-4000.